You are Locked On Kings, your daily podcast on the Sacramento Kings.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Will the Kings go for three in the win? Will they go for two in a tie? Bogdanovich to put it in play below us, his back to us on the near sideline. Buddy pops to the far wing. Bogey holds, gives to Fox. No time to launch. He drives. They're going for the tie. Double clutch up and in at the buzzer. We're going to overtime. De'Aaron Fox outboxed the Heat. 111-111. Fox, the initiator, brings it up and gives to the left wing to Bogdanovich. Right back to Fox. Rolls left, looking for help. Finds Bogey straight away. He's going to launch a 28-foot three, and he makes the triple! Bogdanovich from North Natomas. His second three-pointer of the night, only the fifth field goal he's made in 14 attempts, makes it a two-possession game, 119-115. Tip-in for two is good with three-tenths of a second to go from James Johnson's. Inbounds to Bogdan, and this one is over. The Kings stay perfect in overtime at 3-0. Miami has lost their ninth straight road game. Sacramento, with only three wins in their last 27 matchups against the Heat, get the victory tonight. They have not swept Miami since 2001 and 2002, so a number of notable accomplishments by the Kings, who improved their record to 22-47. The final score, 123-119, and all kinds of drama for Sacramento.
Now that is what I call a ball game. Hello, everybody. Welcome to Locked On Kings, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. This is your number one podcast for Sacramento Kings talk, news, updates, interviews, anything you could possibly want. You are in the right place if you call yourself a Kings fan right here at Locked On Kings. The Locked On Podcast Network, there's a podcast for every single NBA team. Also, the Locked On NBA podcast that you should take and listen to covers league-wide news and updates and topics. Then there's Locked On NFL as well. The Locked On Podcast Network is one of the best podcast networks in all of sports. I may be a little biased because I'm part of it, but ignore that. My name is Matt George from Sports 1140 KHGK, the flagship radio station of the Sacramento Kings. That call you just heard from the G-Man Gary Gerald was on the KHGK airwaves last night, and it was all over the NBA as the Sacramento Kings are 3-0 in overtime, and once again, De'Aaron Fox is clutch. What a basketball game last night. You heard G-Man say it. The Kings sweep the Miami Heat for the first time since 2001-2002. That was one of the best teams in the NBA in 2001-2002, and this team is the first to do it for Sacramento since. A fantastic stat line, a fantastic night last night. So many things to touch on, so many things to react to and hit on. We will get to all of that. But first, why don't we take a listen to some of the post-game sound from Dave Yeager, from De'Aaron Fox, and from Zach Randolph.
It was a heck of a basketball game. And, you know, you hate to say that. I think sometimes we sound kind of not very nice to say it was a great basketball game when your side is the winning side. But I thought it was a heck of a basketball game. During the course of the game, I said it several times, everybody who played well. Everybody who played had a play at some point in the game that they made that helped us, you know, win a ball game. Technically, in my opinion, the offensive rebounds cost us. They got a lot of extra chances to shoot threes. They got real aggressive in getting in the paint, and then and the pick and roll was a little problem there for a while. They scored 11 out of 13 times. And the two they didn't in that stretch in the fourth quarter were both offensive fouls. But I thought we hung together. We executed. We executed at the end. We got stuff that we were looking for. I think it's a great experience for our young guys. It was great to see Zach got off to a quick start, was fully lathered up and ready to go. And then, like I said, everybody had a play or 5 or 6 minutes where they played really well to help us win tonight.
I just try to get a good shot in that situation. Teams don't really want to help off the three. And that just gives me a lot of space to play with. And, you know, coach trusts me to go make a play, and, you know, I did.
It's like your third or fourth time this year. Is that just something that, I mean, you're ready for and you're ready for the big moment?
Yeah. And that and, you know, I feel like I thrive in situations like that, and especially when it's one-on-one. You know, meeting another guard, I just feel like my speed, I just get to wherever I want. And for the most part, you know, usually I'm more athletic and just try to rise over them.
Them guys, I got a lot of confidence in my young guys. They play hard. Not only do they put the time in, they work. So we get on the court, it applies to the court. And that's what they're doing. I'm proud of them.
How big was that block?
Oh, yeah, man, it's big. I knew it went off of him, so, you know, it was a good block, man. You know, just playing hard, man, and trying to do whatever I can for the team.
You know, you're one of the guys that they can rely on for an easy bucket, but how good does it feel to make a defensive
play? Man, it would feel good. I mean, especially when them defensive plays that count. So, you know, we got the win. We just keep building, keep getting better. These young guys are getting better. They putting their time in. That's what it's all about.
Let's work our way through this game a bit because it definitely was an up and down affair, especially late. The Sacramento Kings really were in control for a majority of the game. It looked like it was their night really from the get-go. The Miami Heat, they were without three of their top players. The two biggest names they were without were Hassan Whiteside and Dwayne Wade. So they went to battle without those two in their corner. So the Sacramento Kings certainly had an advantage in that sense. It was early second quarter, late first quarter, where the Miami Heat looked to be at their most comfortable. The Kings got off to another slow offensive start, only scoring, I believe, 24 points, which matches their average of points scored in the first quarter for this season. But they were able to turn things around in the second quarter, build up a lead, and really didn't look back until the fourth quarter. That is, the Kings outscored the Heat 35-21, battling back from an 11-point deficit, and then they outscored the Heat 32-27 in the third quarter. Those two middle quarters, really offensively, things were clicking for the Sacramento Kings, who offensively at the beginning of the game, they were struggling to get anything going outside of the paint. If I remember correctly, the first 14 points they scored in the game were all inside the paint, and they were 0 for 11 at some point, or 1 for 12 or something like that, outside of the paint to start the game. They started getting that outside shot going. A lot of it was because of the contributions of their bench. You heard Dave Yeager say that it was good for Zach Randolph to get going early, and he really was the scoring for the Kings. At least initially, he finished the game with 22 points in 33 minutes, shooting 9 of 16 at 56%. But it was the young guys that really carried the Kings the rest of the way, especially down the stretch, which we'll get to in a little bit. The Kings managed to build up a nice, solid lead in quarters 2 and 3, a 16-point lead at one point early on in the fourth quarter. But you figured, because we've watched this team enough, you know, you just knew that the Miami Heat were going to have a chance to get themselves back into the game. And I can remember the exact point when I knew something was up. Eric Spoelstra and the Heat were down 101-91. They took the timeout. I had the pleasure of working with Miami Heat radio last night, and coming out of the timeout, I turned to play-by-play voice Mike Inglis and I told him, look, the Sacramento Kings are going to give up at least a 6-0 run here, and the Miami Heat are going to get back into the game. He turned to me and he said, man, I don't know the way the Heat are playing with both Dwayne Wade and Hassan Whiteside out. I don't see how that's going to happen. I turned to him and I said, just watch. It's going to happen. I've seen it a million times. Lo and behold, an 8-0 run by the Miami Heat. The Kings call a timeout, and all of a sudden their lead has been cut down to 2. Suddenly the Miami Heat come take the lead late in the fourth quarter, and the Kings, once again, similar to what they had to do in Miami earlier this season, is they had to rely on the heroics of De'Aaron Fox. You heard the cut to open up the show. De'Aaron Fox attacks the basket, gets the shot off with 0.1 second remaining, and I saw the highlight this morning, and they zoomed in on when it left his fingertips, and this ball barely got off, just off his fingertips with 0.1 seconds left. But it was a great call by the officials to call it good. They went to the review center, and it took them very little time to see that it did get off. 0.1 seconds left. De'Aaron Fox hits another clutch bucket. That is his fourth clutch moment of the game, and all of a sudden, De'Aaron Fox is starting to gather a bit of a reputation as a rookie of being very comfortable and very clutch and really a go-to guy in crunch time. De'Aaron has always believed himself that, and you heard him talking during post-game. He always has had this air of confidence about him that, you know, in those moments I thrive, that's when I want the ball in my hands, which is what you want from, hopefully, your future star. De'Aaron has full confidence in himself in those situations. He has full confidence in his teammates as well. If he were to kick the ball out or go to Zach Randolph or go to Buddy Hield or Bogdan Bogdanovic, he has full confidence in all of them, and all of them have full confidence in him. So you knew where the ball was going to go, similar to what he did against the Brooklyn Nets in the Golden 1 Center a couple weeks ago. He hits the game-tying bucket to beat the buzzer to send the game to overtime, and the Sacramento Kings, 3 overtime games this season, they've won all three of them. Honestly, you cannot tell me, not to beat a dead horse, but I'm going to beat the dead horse because people still don't get it. You can't tell me that last night's win with a clutch bucket once again from your number five overall pick, and then 14 points, 14 of Buddy Hield's 24 points came in the fourth quarter and in overtime combined. And Bogdan Bogdanovich hit that clutch three-pointer that we played the highlight for, a deep, almost 30-foot three-pointer that he nailed to give the Kings a comfortable lead in overtime. Those three stepping up big for the Kings in crunch time, the Kings winning the game and beating a playoff team. And look, I don't care that Dwayne Wade and Hassan Whiteside were out. You can use that as an excuse all you want. That wasn't an excuse to the Sacramento Kings because clearly with both those two out, the Kings still had to get the job done and force the game to go to overtime and then win in overtime. The Heat, even without Dwayne Wade and Hassan Whiteside, are a playoff team. That was a must-win game for them. They've now lost nine straight games on the road. They had to win that game. They're in the eighth seed. They're looking at catching or taking a half a game lead over the seventh seed Milwaukee Bucks, who had lost to the Orlando Magic the same night. Had the Heat won last night, they would have vaulted over Milwaukee into the seventh seed. They had to win that game, and the Kings stopped them from it. They played spoiler. I don't care if Dwayne Wade and Hassan Whiteside were out. The Kings did what they need to do. If you still believe that last night was or is worse than had they lost the game and been in a better percentage chance for ping pong balls in the draft lottery, I honestly don't know what to tell you. There's nothing I could possibly say. Last night was perfect in every single way. Now, if you want to compare last night to the win against the Orlando Magic a couple nights ago, or I think it was last week inside the Golden One Center, where it was a win led completely by the veterans, Garrett Temple, Vince Carter, Zach Randolph, and Kosta Kufos led the way for the Kings because the rest of the team struggled. The only really positive from that game was the outstanding performance from Zach Cooley that made it fun. But ultimately, that win, I can understand you making an argument for that not being a good win and hurting the Kings in the long run with ping pong balls. That I'll listen to. This, you have no argument. You have no chance. This is phenomenal for the Kings. This is massive progress and massive step forward for your young guys to once again come up in the clutch. And yes, Zach Randolph scored 20 points, and yes, he played 33 minutes, but without him, the Kings wouldn't have been in that game, and it's still okay for him to get big minutes and be on the floor in those moments if he helps the kids do what they did last night. I was completely 100% on board and fired up from last night's victory because it's everything I wanted to see. It's everything you could possibly ask for. It is a crunch time win against a playoff team that's clearly better than you, where your kids, your young players, your rookies, and your sophomores come up big and you ultimately win the game. In overtime. Guys, these young Sacramento Kings are 3-0 in overtime. And they swept the Miami Heat for the first time since 2001-2002. That matters a million times more than ping pong balls. A million times more. Last night was phenomenal for this franchise. And like I said, De'Aaron Fox is starting to develop a reputation of being a clutch scorer and a go-to guy. And for him to establish that his rookie season, to get that confidence now, 2-3 years down the road, if he is a go-to guy, one of the best players in the league, you can point to his rookie year, him taking it on himself, even when the Kings were expected to lose games and weren't very good. You can point to, it started here. So, you know, the Kings drop into, I guess, tied for sixth place or in the sixth best percentage chance for lottery balls, but I will take that any chance or every night of the week if we get results like last night. And don't you worry, Tank fans. The Sacramento Kings have an uphill battle to fight themselves. They are in Golden State tomorrow night to take on the Warriors. Yes, the Warriors are shorthanded as well. So if the Kings win that game, I'm sure everybody's going to hold that against the Kings as well. They're without Klay Thompson. Draymond Green might play. And then they're without Steph Curry as well. But ultimately, there's still a lot of games on this schedule that the Kings are slotted to lose and will lose. But there are games coming up that people are worried that the Kings are going to win. Like, I think they still have a matchup against Dallas and a matchup against Atlanta, if I'm not mistaken. If the Kings win that game, good. They're supposed to, especially if it's in their own building. That's progress to me. That matters more than ping pong balls. Last night is due cause for celebration. The Sacramento Kings played phenomenally well. They battled back. They faced late adversity. It wasn't a walk in the park. They did what everybody expected a young team to do. They kind of slacked off and relaxed a little bit too early, allowed the Heat to get back into it, but they flipped that switch and they got the job done, very similar to how they did against the Brooklyn Nets. Progress. Fantastic progress. I think Kings fans should be 100% proud and thrilled by the Sacramento Kings' effort last night and the result. It was a great, fun atmosphere inside of the Golden One Center. It was a good night to be a Sacramento Kings fan. I was asked a great question last night on Twitter before the Sacramento Kings and Miami Heat game, and it was a question that I wanted to carry over into the podcast and answer for you on the podcast today from one of our loyal listeners, Steve Svensson. He sent in, do you think good yet reasonable free agent targets would be more likely to accept a Kings contract offer if they A, lose out and land a top three pick, or B, show progress in the last couple weeks and win a few while falling down to, say, pick seven? He answered his own B, and I would completely agree with him. Again, answer B was show progress in the last couple weeks and win a few while falling down to, say, pick seven. Look, unless the Sacramento Kings got a top three pick and landed someone in the draft who had the prestige of a LeBron James that had this kind of ego or this expectation surrounding him that he was going to be a mega star that veterans or guys that are looking for their major free agent contract are going to want to play with. They're not interested in draft picks. They really aren't. And I'm not just saying that just to win an argument. Oftentimes players, current players on this roster for the Kings right now, and then players that are coming in free agency, are keeping their eye on the draft and saying, who are they bringing in? Is that someone that could potentially take my spot? If I signed a 3 or 4 year deal with the Sacramento Kings, and I'm a point guard, or I'm a small forward, and they draft a small forward who they expect to be potentially a starter in 2-3 years, that means the second half of my contract, there's a chance that I could be traded or moved because there's going to be somebody competing for my spot. If I'm a free agent, I want to try and sign someplace that maximizes my playing time, maximizes my chance to be to get as much time as I can on the floor and get as much opportunity I can on the floor. If I'm a really good free agent, I want a chance to prove that I can be a star or be a go-to number one or number two guy. So I'm not necessarily going to be interested in or care about the free agents that you bring in. However, if I see that De'Aaron Fox and Buddy Hield are playing really, really well, if I've seen that Bogdan Bogdanovic can be a capable passer that I think my game complements and I can play well alongside, that matters more to me. So to answer his question, absolutely, it's more important for free agents if the Kings perform well and show flashes of what can be with their roster right now to try and entice players to come and want to be a part of it. I guarantee you there are players that may be free agents next season or this offseason that are looking at what De'Aaron Fox did last night and have looked at his four clutch moments throughout this game and gone, okay, young fella, I'm impressed. You're impressing me. You're interesting me. A lot of the Kings players, I know Bogdan did the same thing during All-Star Weekend with how well he played. Same thing with Buddy Hield in the Rising Stars Challenge. People are paying attention to the Kings, whether it's in a good or bad way, and they're seeing the talent that is on this roster right now. I would be shocked if there aren't players out there that wouldn't want to try and be a part of it. And let me just say this from a biased Sacramento Kings standpoint. I could be completely wrong, but this is my thought process on everything. I have been deeply ingrained in this Kings fan base my entire life. I know how rowdy, how wonderful, how amazing it is. Anyone that has been around this franchise, that has been loved and has had success with this franchise, even guys like DeMarcus Cousins who didn't necessarily win but were very, very well loved and respected here in Sacramento, they all say the same thing. This fan base is always phenomenal to play in front of. This team is not a good team, and they are still have a consecutive sellout streak, and they're still pulling phenomenal crowds, even against quote-unquote bad matchups like the Brooklyn Nets game and the Orlando Magic game last week and a couple weeks ago. So if you're a top-name free agent, let's just say an Aaron Gordon. If you're an Aaron Gordon and you sign with the Sacramento Kings and you can become part of the team that brings the Kings back to prominence and back to the Holy Land that is the playoffs and actually compete, if Aaron Gordon can be a part of that, be one of a top two or top three guys that makes that happen, you become immortal in this city. And it's a phenomenal and fun place to play. And I guarantee you that matters to free agents. But ultimately what matters to free agents is the dollar sign and the bottom line. And don't fool yourself. The Sacramento Kings are going to have to pay a lot of money, overpay, in fact, to bring some of those guys in. They're going to have to do the same thing that they did with George Hill last summer. Obviously, George Hill didn't work out, and it's kind of a bitter pill to swallow. But I'm okay with the Kings throwing the same kind of money at an Aaron Gordon or at a Jabari Parker or even a Julius Randle. Julius is a little bit interesting. We can talk about that more as we get closer to free agency. But they have to take that risk, and I'm okay with them taking that risk. And if it doesn't work out again, well, that's just bad luck by the Sacramento Kings. But look, you can't hold the George Hill signing against the Sacramento Kings. That's what they had to do to bring in a guy who had a great year last year. It just didn't work here in Sacramento. Hindsight is 20/20. So all the fans that want to come back and say, well, that George Hill signing was terrible because we had De'Aaron Fox and Frank Mason, who are going to be the future anyway, so he didn't matter, he didn't fit anyway. That's not what everybody was saying when George Hill was first signed. Everybody was saying, remember the national media narrative of this summer for the Sacramento Kings? Not just drafting De'Aaron Fox, but the fact that they signed a guy like George Hill. They thought, this is a great move for the Kings. Also getting Vince Carter and Zach Randolph. These are great moves for the Kings. That's what the Kings are going to have to do with this upcoming free agency. I hope they can land a solid young player like a Jabari Parker or an Aaron Gordon. They're going to have to pay a lot for him, but if they can get a guy like that in there, I think immediately that makes you better, and if you can lock him up for a potentially long-term deal, those guys could potentially come key pieces for what get the Kings back to the promised land. That is going to do it here for us. Thank you again, Steve, for that question. And thank you, everybody who listened and was a part of the podcast today. You can be like Steve and get involved with me, ask me questions, and have discussions with me on Twitter if you'd like, at Matt George, KHTK. Tomorrow, Jason Ross, former host of Locked On Kings, will be with me. We're going to talk March Madness, how you should watch March Madness if you are a Sacramento Kings fan, how much stock you should put into players' success stories and failures and struggles in March Madness when it comes to the draft lottery and the upcoming NBA draft. All of that and more with Jason Ross is coming up tomorrow, so stay tuned for that. I will see you then, but for now, my name is Matt George. Thank you so much for joining me right here on the Locked On Kings podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
You are Locked On Kings, your daily Sacramento Kings podcast.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.